You'll start your equipment. Ephesians 4. There's a game that's played in churches, and Christians play this game. Maybe some of you are familiar with it. It's called Just the Opposite. How many of you have ever heard of it? Just the Opposite. Just to make sure that you're already starting with me, let's say that together. Just the opposite. Scott, I'm going to need your help at the appropriate time. And everyone else. As you get the game, you'll figure it out. In Ephesians 4, we're going to look at verse 32. Now, this is going to be a little tricky this morning because it's going to be completely different than anything I've ever shared and the way that I've shared. So you're going to have to tune in to just the opposite. You ready? All right. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. All right, here we go. That scripture doesn't mean that. Jesus never meant that. In fact, not only does it not mean that, but it means just the opposite. Jesus really meant hold grudges. Are you starting to pick up on? He really meant you should hold grudges if you can. Do something evil back to somebody. Yeah. Keep long accounts. Do you know what that means? Let it all build up. Don't get stuff cleared out of your life quickly. Don't forgive and forgive and forgive. Then you'll have nothing to do at the end of the year. Just keep long accounts. And let's say I put keep long accounts so you can secretly let things build up until you explode. Until you explode and you either walk away from your friends angry or the place or whatever. And then here's the real key. Never just forgive. Okay, now. You might forgive, but never just forgive. Only when they initiate. When they all come to you and say, I'm sorry, then you might consider forgiving them. Okay? But never just forgive people. That's no way to go. And then forgive only when you are convinced that they are as sincere as you want them to be. Right? I mean, because what if they came and they said, look, I'm asking you to forgive me, or I did this, and I ask you to forgive me. If you perceive that they're not as sincere as you want them to be, don't forgive them. Right? Are you with me? Are you ready to play the game? And of course, don't forgive them unless they make everything right in the way that you want them to. That may include a really nice dinner. So that when they say forgive me, they also pay the bill for the meal and stuff like that. And then I thought of this line. I wrote it down. Remember, anger suffers short and is mean. Oh, don't let your mind slip away to love suffereth long and is kind. Anger suffereth short and is mean. And then, should you foolishly decide to forgive someone? Should you foolishly decide to forgive someone? Never forget it. Never forget it. In fact, store it up for when you might need to use it against them later on. All right, you sort of getting the idea? Let's turn to Proverbs 3:5. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. This scripture doesn't mean that. God never meant that. In fact, it not only doesn't mean that, but it means just the opposite. I tell you what, this Patrick family is good. She caught it first, and then this is, folks, keep up, would you? Am I perceiving that the reason they're so good at this is they've had practice, you say. All right. What the Lord really means is that your understanding is better than everyone else's, including God's. Yeah, you didn't know that that's what that meant, did you? Here, just go by what you think. Okay? Just go by what you think. And trust in how you see things. And don't trust the Lord when things look the opposite of the way you think they should be. You following me? Now, some of you haven't caught on yet. Maybe Eddie hadn't caught on. He's going, what kind of place have I joined to here? Somebody explained to him that we're, never mind. All right, remember, suspicion is the best policy. Just look carefully at people. And remember, God could not possibly be in control of things that seem out of control to us. How could he? It's out of control. Right? I mean, if it's out of control, it's out of control. How could he possibly be in control of that? Right? All right, I'm going to just keep moving here. Hebrews chapter 10. And the good news is, I may not go as long today as I usually do. Wow, I expected incredible applause. Applause, yeah! I just told you just the opposite. Remember, never rush out on your pastor when he's talking. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25. But let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. First of all, notice it says, and let us consider one another to provoke. Some of you have been practicing that. And you're scriptural. All right. First of all, this scripture doesn't mean that. In fact, Jesus never meant that. And if you want to know the truth, it means this side over here has got it. What is wrong with you people? You know that there's a family tie when the son finally joins in and he's... All right. What it really means is you should isolate yourself. And doing a good job of it, may I add. God doesn't really want you to go to gatherings with other Christians. Okay, I know that you wouldn't be here if you thought that's really what he meant. but he means just the opposite. Instead, he wants you to be totally on your own and get God for yourself. Wait a minute. Have you ever heard someone say that before? Well, now you know he doesn't really mean gather together. All right. Let's keep moving. Luke chapter 9. Don't worry, it gets easier as we go. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Jesus speaking here, and he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." This scripture doesn't mean that. It doesn't. Jesus never meant that when he said that. That's not what he meant. I don't know what you're getting out of this, but that's not what he meant. In fact, not only does it mean that, but it means
just the opposite.
I think you're still a little louder over here. You're winning. There will be no prize at the end, but I'm really proud of you. It really means that your daily life should be completely devoid of any thought of the cross. Well, you said take up the cross daily. It couldn't possibly mean that. I mean, we're busy people, right? How can you shove the cross in there as a thought of, you know, in your daily life? I mean, Jesus said that. It couldn't possibly mean that. All right? It also doesn't mean to deny yourself, but do whatever you want to do. Look, that's not that big a shock. You're already doing that. And here's some good news. Do it when you want to do it. Kim, this is a joke. We're not really teaching this. And remember it says, if any man come after me, if he's going to follow me, make Jesus follow you. Okay, now, here it is. This is going to be good news. Make Jesus follow you to protect you, to bless you, and to make you happy. Make Jesus follow you. Isn't that good? This other thing sounds really bad and hard. Just get Jesus to follow you and to watch out for you. And thank God for his angels just to watch over you and to make sure that you know, whether you drive safely or not, there'll be no wrecks. You know. All right, let's keep moving. We are doing really good, and I'm so glad for this. John 5:39. We'll be out of here in 10 minutes if we keep this up. I'm going to check it because you may be right. After years of telling you you'll get out early and never happening. All right, John 5:39, Jesus says, "Search the scriptures." We'll stop there and now go to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17 and verse 10. Let's see. Yeah, 10 and 11. Acts 17, verse 10 and 11. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming there, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. These scriptures don't mean that. Jesus didn't mean that when these were said. In fact, it not only doesn't mean that, it means
just the opposite.
You can help out. You're usually right in there, buddy. All right, so what it means is what? hardly ever read the Bible. Okay? Don't, especially not daily. You saw that. Don't do it daily. Just don't read the Bible very often. But there are other things that you should make sure that you do daily. Ready? Watch television. Are you faithful to do that daily? Good. I'm glad to hear it. Play video games. But my next one is my favorite. Get on Twitter. Yeah. You can write tweets every day. Instead of you reading the scripture every day, they can read your tweet. Sounds pretty sweet, doesn't it? Update your website, your Facebook page. You can do that. What else did I put down here? Just surf the web. Now, I'm going to ask you to start doing that daily. Okay? Make sure you do that daily. How about texting? I know that my wife texts every day. Me. When she's talking to me and she doesn't think I'm listening, she'll text me. In that case, it really is just the opposite. All right, moving right along. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 1. This is Paul speaking here. In 1 Corinthians 11, 1, and Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." This scripture doesn't mean that. Jesus never meant that. In fact, he meant
just
the opposite. That's right. Never follow anyone who follows the Lord. Okay? Just find the people that follow the Lord and don't follow them. That's the best way. Okay? Only follow the Lord as you know him, and you will never go wrong. Wives, never submit to your own husbands. Just follow the Lord. Too bad we don't have the children here, because I would say, children, good news. Never obey your parents. Fred's saying, well, I never had a problem with that one. Just follow the Lord. Church, never follow your God-given leadership. Make it up as you go. And then citizens, never obey any laws unless God specifically tells you to. Yeah. I got a couple of amens on that one. Did you know that? Last page. Proverb, back to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Yeah. Yeah. Go just the opposite. Go to Isaiah 12. Proverbs 6:16. In fact, this one, because it's got several things, we have to go down it. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So we'll hit just that last one, though. The others are really good. He that soweth discord among brethren. These scriptures don't mean that. God never meant Don't sow discord among the brethren. In fact, it means you probably should have been on this side because you're starting to really get good. The Lord doesn't hate people who sow discord. He loves them. And they're special to him. Now think about it. Those who sow discord are special to him. Some are going, I don't know if I want to be in that special category. Tell everyone about the things you don't like. See if you can get them discontented along with you. You know, you have to work at these things. They don't just come automatically. Never commit things to God in prayer. All right? If for some reason you tried this method of committing things to God in prayer, only pray for a short time, and if nothing happens, give up. Right? You should, the fruit of the flesh is that short suffering. The fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. It's just the opposite. Get it? If for some reason you try this method of committing things to God in prayer, only pray for a short time, and if nothing happens, then give up. Never pray in faith, but always doubt that the place or the person will ever change. One more scripture. We're still on this subject, but I thought it'd be a good one. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4:8. And this really is the last thing that I'm going to be dealing with here. Who is it that took the children? Mike and Mike? They should start calling themselves the Mike and Mike Show. Philippians 4, and did I tell you which verse? Verse 8. Finally, brethren, I really like that because Paul is saying all of this stuff, you know, first chapter, second chapter, third chapter, fourth chapter, and he's getting down and finally gets to the end of the book and he goes, okay, finally, this is the deal. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, I'm not going to do just the opposite on this. You can probably figure that one out. But I was thinking, since it's just the opposite in line with what we were saying about prayer, then we'll just say whatever things are honest, lovely, never think on these things. Only on what is wrong. Only meditate on what is wrong. Never stand with someone who is wrong, only with those who are right, and never make mistakes, and perfect. Does that make sense? I mean, that should bear witness to all of us. Only stand with people that are always right, that are perfect, and never make mistakes. Pardon? It's a small group of one. His name's Jesus. So here's what I wrote. Never stand with someone who is wrong, only with those who are right, perfect, and never make mistakes. Quickly forsake everyone else. All right. That really is the basis of what I was going to share this morning. I realize that we recorded this, and if we put this online, it's going to fuel perfectly the fire of people thinking we're a cult or we're weird or whatever. So just to make sure, here's the disclaimer. This was sort of a joke. It's a shame you have to say stuff like that. And you don't do just the opposite of the Word of God. You follow the Lord with all your heart. You let the Word guide your life. You don't twist the Word to fit what you want to do. To follow the Lord means, you know, I mean, if Jesus were a mime, then you could just follow him sort of where he went. But he spoke the Word of God, and he gave us his heart, and he gave us the things that are important to him. And the important thing is that we don't go by our own mind. And I remember David praying. When I was in Bible school, I read a scripture where David was praying, and it really touched me. He said, "Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me." And here's why it touched me. Because I had spent all my time in the Bible trying to search him. But I never let him search me. And it just shocked me. I mean, it really shocked me. It's just like, my God, I never even thought, you know, to say, you know, kind of like Blake, I need a checkup, you know. Need a checkup, Lord. Check my all and check this and check that and make sure, you know, it's kind of like, check up, check in with the Lord regularly. Nobody's perfect. Nobody has it all together. We're not talking about that. We're just saying we love the Lord. Can I get amen? We love the Lord. And we're not, you know, as Jennifer said in her prayer, we're not playing at this. I'm not. I don't believe you are. We're not playing at this. We really want the Lord. But to really stay on track, I think you have to check in with the Lord from time to time and just open your heart and say, okay, Lord, you know, talk to me. But don't have preconceived ideas. Just say, I'm open to whatever you say. It's good to have a trusted friend that you can do that with in the Lord. Did you know that? It is good to have a trusted friend that you can go to and say, you know, I just like to open up and say, you know, is there any stuff that you see in my life? And that's why I said a trusted friend, not somebody that's going to judge you or go, my God, you're a freaking mess, you know. Which most of us are, but we don't want them to say that. No, it's valuable to have friends like that. And I've told people, always have somebody in your life that can speak into your life. Never be the final say, you know. Always have somebody that can speak into your life. It's so valuable. And if they're really a good friend or they're really faithful to the Lord and to you, they won't judge you or condemn you. They'll just say, well, there's the possibility of these things. I lay it out there. You ask the Lord. Because it is ultimately our heart that has to say, yes, Lord. You know. And so that's it. And Scott was right. It was just the opposite. It's been 20 minutes, so. Let's stand together. Just going to ask if anyone has a prayer that you pray it out that's along the lines of what we've just said, and let's just continue the openness that we've been having with the Lord for some time now and the preciousness of how the Lord really is having his way in our life. So if you have, even if it's personal and you want to pray something for you or you want to pray something for the body, however you feel led, but if any of you would like to pray for it, then please do so.